And I had a prophet come up to me and practically strangle me. It was really weird. The Holy Ghost came all over this guy. And I was just, this was right when Mitchell was sick, and I was just praying. I had no idea it'd be such a long trial. And he came up to me. He's really anointed. Well, it was Jim Gull is who it was before he was real popular. And he went like this. He was like, this guy is strangling me. He's going like this, and he's going, there's a curse. There's a curse. It's going after the children and her family. It wants to destroy the children and her family with death. And there's premature death over the children and her family. And he was going on, and he said, and it comes from her mother's. No, it comes from her mother's mother. And then I fell down. And I thought, and I was in such confusion at first that I didn't know him. Since that time, God really made him a spokesperson in the kingdom. But that was kind of before he was too known, and or at least to me. And I went down, I thought, what? But I knew it was anointing of God. And I said, my mother's mother, she was the only Christian in the family. She's probably the only reason any of us are saved. She lived a godly life. She was a really holy woman. How could he put this on her? And then it took, but that never left me because he was true prophet and he was seeing this curse over our family. But then it took me breaking this other girl free from witchcraft in the Indian heritage to realize that I had self-esteem from being an Indian. And I won't get into all of it, but my sisters and all have blue eyes and blonde hair. Has anybody noticed? Although they dye it now. But they really did have that color hair when they were younger. And then I have a brother, blonde hair and blue eyes. And so I was picked on. Just with kids playing. And I was always told I was adopted, and they would close the door, wouldn't let me in, and all kinds of mean things. Can you believe that? And but what happened was I had to look for, instead of going to God and saying, thank you for giving me dark hair and green eyes, and this is how you made me, the teasing caused me to look for some reason to have dark hair and green eyes that I could be proud of. And so my grandmother was part Indian, and so I said, that's because I'm like my grandmother, who's an Indian. Then I had a cousin from that side of the family who everyone said I look like. And she looked more Indian than most of our family. And so that's how that curse came on us. That's what I went through all this for, because I got my self-esteem and my identity in an Indian heritage instead of being in Christ. And so that curse that came with that heritage came at my family. Isn't that wild? And that include all this fear and all this stuff. But it took God taking me down another path to help this young lady get free from a witchcraft that was in the Indian heritage before I knew how demonic it was. And I said, man, that's so demonic. I don't want anything to do with an Indian heritage. I broke the power of it. And that's when the light bulb came on to say, this is why the curse is from your mother's mother. Isn't that cool? But it wasn't like a one thing. God didn't just say, okay, here, I'm going to tell you all the details of this. Now go do this, this, and this, and this. First of all, we wouldn't have ears to hear. We would get off track. And God wants us to go after him. He wants us to, and we got teaching on this, but he wants us to ask, seek, and knock. To really go after these things. And so I just want to encourage you, some of you tonight, you're not going to get all this coming to meetings. You won't even get it all at the conference. You need to get serious about destroying what Satan has planned for you. You have to get serious about it. You have to go to God. You have to have ears to hear who he wants to preach through, how he wants to preach. You need to get out of the rut. Some of me, I believe there'd be a lot of Christians who would not have died of cancer and different things had they gone to different meetings than the same old things they went to. I mean, when you're desperate, you better put on your tennis shoes and go after every place that God leads you to get to your answer. We all sit around thinking God has to do it. Well, I'm sitting here. Well, don't you go look at the book of how many people sat there, said they were healed and died, and begin to realize you can't just name it and claim it. You really honestly have to go after God and find out why Satan can do what he can do. Every time I'm attacked with something, every time there is a trial, I always go to the Lord and say, okay, Satan's attacking me with this, so he means business. Is there anything, or Lord, what is it in my life where he could win? And every time there is something God wants to deal with in my heart, that if I will let God deal with that thing, it closes the door and the assignment is canceled. If Satan's attacking you, there is a change that has to come into your life before that thing is solved. That's why people just do little prayers over everything. You don't have a clue how spiritual warfare works. You've been misled. If Satan is trying to attack you in a specific way, you need to tear that way apart, because he's picked that on purpose. There's something in you he owns, and he is trying to cash in on it. It's not about somebody else. It's not about just what you say or whatever. There is something he owns there, and he wants to cash in. And what you have to do is go and take that ownership out of his hands and put it in the hands of the Lord. And there's no exceptions. There's no exceptions. You need to totally get free from everything Satan owns in you. That's what sanctification is. Set me free from this. Set me free from this. Just because you're not in the same situation. I was talking to somebody today, and they're talking about getting married. And I said, you know, if you're divorced, and this is really good for people to listen to in this room, if you're divorced, you had better go to God and get every single thing worked out of you that was your part of that divorce. Because it's still there hidden, waiting to zap the next person who comes into your life. And many times you don't even know it until you say the I do, because it's something that's hidden until the marriage takes place. And many people say, boy, we were fine dating, but the minute we got married, all hell broke loose. Well, the reason is because whatever that thing was had nothing to do with the dating thing. It's something that had to do with marriage. It has to do with something you judged in marriage. It has to do with something you saw in marriage. It has to do with something that you've been set up with. And the answer isn't just never marry again, unless God shows you that. The answer is, as soon as you get through something where there was so much of the enemy involved, go to God and get your part dealt with. Because that same thing is going to show up one way or the other. It doesn't even have to wait for another marriage. Satan can't touch you unless he has some ownership right. So you need to find out how he has some ownership right and get that ownership right out of his hand. And you can only do that if you're a Christian. You can only do that if you understand Jesus Christ and the cross and the price he paid to set you free. But you need to get really serious about getting free. I love that the Word of God says he came, what is it, for freedom to set us free? It's for freedom that he set us free. Wow, that's deep. It's for freedom that he set us free. It's for freedom that he set us free. He wants you free. It's not for some works for him. It's not for something to benefit him. He wants to set you free because he wants to set you free. He wants to see you free. He wants you free. He wants you free from unclean stuff. He wants you free from obesity. He wants you free from alcohol. He wants you free from cursing. He wants you free from the demonic. He wants you free from being mean. He wants you free from being afraid of marriage. He wants you free from being abusive. He wants you free from schizophrenia. He wants you free. He wants you free. It's for the sake of freedom he set you free. What an awesome God that would pay all that to set us free. And quit agreeing with the devil that you can't get free. I just don't like that. You might have to walk through something, then walk through it. Come on, let's grow up. Everybody, please, throw the Pampers away. Let's grow up and let's see Satan under our feet. We just patty cake. Please don't hurt me. I won't go to any more meetings. I won't listen to any more tapes. If you just leave me alone. He isn't going to leave you alone. Number one, he's going to destroy you. But number two, I would rather die going after all that God has for me than sit around in agreement with the devil and do nothing with my life. Big deal. If I die, I'm right with Jesus. Going, man, how did I miss that one? Face to face with God. What a horrible, horrible thing. It's not a horrible thing. It's an awesome thing. It's a privilege. We're not supposed to be afraid of dying. Tell the devil he's defeated. He's going to hell and you're not going with him. And he's not going to live in your body. And he's not going to be in charge of your weight. And he's not going to be in charge of how you feel about yourself. He's not going to be in charge of your intellect. He's not going to be in charge of your money. He's not going to be in charge of your family. Folks, come Friday night, let's kick the devil in the head. Let's worship God and do some really fun warfare. Let's absolutely just let the devil know he's defeated. Quit believing him. Find out what he is stealing from you and get mad about it. Righteous anger. Devil, you will not take my intimacy with the Lord. Devil, you will not take my money anymore. Devil, you will not take the call on my life. Devil, you will not be in charge of making me stink like a cigarette. Devil, you will not take my health by making me eat anymore, more than I should eat. Devil, you will not take my relationships. Devil, you will not take my career. Devil, you will not take my husband to hell. Devil, you will not take my kids. Devil, you will not bring this into our house. You will not do this. And not make it just words, make it something real, because you're willing to do whatever the Holy Spirit wants you to do to get to that place of victory. Wherever Satan owns you, if you pat that thing on the back, it's going to bite you at some point. How many times you got to get bit to finally hate that Satan owns you in certain areas of your life? It's for freedom that he set you free. It's for freedom. Freedom from drugs. Freedom from drinking. Freedom from eating just anything the devil wants you to eat. Freedom from unclean sex. Freedom from pornography. Freedom from soap operas. Freedom from anger, freedom from cursing, freedom from being an enabler or enabling others, freedom from being a victim, freedom from hurting people, freedom from hate, freedom from being abused. Isn't that nice of him? He wants you to get free from these foul spirits that have so hurt you your whole life. He wants you to hate what he hates. I'm not going to do an altar call for gluttony tonight. I really want you to take the next 6 weeks or whatever until we have the conference, and I want you to tear it apart. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit and then have ears to hear. Somebody will preach something and man, the answer will be there. You'll read it in a book. Open up to see the answer. Wherever you have addiction, I don't care what addiction it is. I don't care if it's more than one addiction. Some people are addicted to going to doctors. Some people are addicted to looking at the medical thing. Some people are addicted to this and some people are addicted to that. Whatever it is that you've formed a pattern or a habit to do. First of all, fast it. The best you can between now and the conference, don't give in to it. That'll give you ears to really hear what the Spirit will say. Let's believe by the night, that end of that conference, that thing will be broken off of you. But really look at what habits you have. Anything that makes you have to watch it, you need to figure out, has a demon on it. Anything that you have to do that takes the place of being led by the Spirit, anything that orders your steps. See, when I had vanity before God set me free last year, I could not have got this thrift store up and going. I'm not saying I did by myself, I didn't, but I would not have been able to oversee it happening. Why? Because if it was sunny, I couldn't have been in there. I would have had to be on the beach. And I almost had to die in a sailboat accident, struck by lightning, to make me really hate it enough to say, okay, if you never, ever, ever want me to lay in the sun again, I won't. Don't be that hard-headed. But do you know what's so cool about God? He made the beach, and I can enjoy it. It just can't rule me. But it used to be, if it was a sunny day and I couldn't be outside, it really bothered me. It would torment me. Now I still know if I want to go to the beach, it's smart to check the weather and go on a day that's nice. But if I'm too busy, then I don't go. If God shows me something else to do. But when I do go, I enjoy it. Because I'm no longer worried about it or being bound by it. And let me tell you what, when that one came out, I threw up. So when y'all come to this addiction thing, y'all know where the bathroom is, because I am not cleaning up devil barf. I am not a devil barf cleaner-upper. And so we'll bind it till you get to the bathroom. Now, not that everybody will throw up, but some of these suckers only come out when you throw up. But that doesn't mean you need to throw up on carpet. You can hold it. You've held it this many years. You can hold it till you get to the restroom. And then you can clean there yourself, too. Time to grow up. But sometimes if these things are foul spirits, you know, it might be gross. But let's hate it. Start to tear the thing apart. Really sit down and take some time in your own life to say what you know is messed up about your life. Internet addiction. Games, those games. Anything that has some devil that makes you have to do it and do it, folks, it isn't God. First of all, it's wasting your time, if nothing else. But second of all, once again, a lot of that's just fantasy. It's. Do you know how exciting it is? It's a counterfeit for trying to live an exciting life. When if you would really get in the will of God, you will live an exciting life. You will really live an exciting life. If you really sell out and get in the will of God, there is nothing like watching God work and watching God move and seeing people healed and seeing people delivered and seeing the Spirit of God make people weep and cry and seeing Him, what He joins together, and watching how He puts something together and supernaturally, constantly being in His presence and hearing Him speak to you and show you things and being in the Word. There's not even such a thing as a boring moment. But it's not based on some devil's idea of excitement. It's based on God's truth of Him living inside of me and taking me for this awesome ride to see the kingdom of God come on the earth. And so tonight we're different tonight. We're not going to pray for everybody and watch everybody fall down. Though that is a lot of fun.